Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Brought to you by Regency at Hualalai, a retirement and assisted living community. Listen Sundays at 6:30 a.m. on KKOA 107.7 FM or at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. Or to the podcast at lava1053.com or koacountry1077.com. Now, here's your host and producer, Sherry Brackett.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. Today, we're talking the lava eruption with updates from several different folks. Realtor Mary Bajir will talk about property insurance and availability of mortgages. Kehau Costa, the executive officer of Hawaii Island Board of Realtors, will talk about temporary housing. County Finance Director Deanna Sacco will talk about what happens to properties that are overrun with lava or landlocked by lava. Governor David Ige talks about emergency proclamations. But first, we have an eruption update with Hawaiian Volcano Observatory scientist in charge, Tina Neal, which we recorded Saturday afternoon around 2:45. Thank you so much, Tina, for taking time on this mid-Saturday afternoon to give us an update. We really appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure.
Now, what I'd like to start with is, what is the eruption update for what's happening with the actual lava flow in Lower Puna?
At 6:45 this morning, there was a report of a new fissure outbreak to the northeast of where fissures 1 through 15 had occurred. So this is the northeast in the downrift direction. This new outbreak, we're calling Fissure 16, was about a mile to the northeast of Fissure 15. Our best observations at that time were that it was just producing a little bit of spatter, not a very significant lava flow yet, similar to how the other fissures have behaved. So basically, it seems like more of the same, as we expected, but just moving down rift. And as far as I know from last field reports, that activity continues.
Okay. Something very interesting that Steve Brantley, who's the deputy scientist in charge, brought up at the last community meeting was that the lava that's being erupted in the Lower Puna area is not, as one might expect, lava that has flowed down from the Pu'uo'o vent, but in fact, it may be lava, or is lava, from the 1955 lava flow, which was the last major flow in that area. Could you tell us more about that, please?
Sure. One of the fascinating things we've learned about Kilauea over the years is that when an eruption occurs along the rift zone, it leaves some of its magma underground. It doesn't all erupt. And so that magma can sit around for many decades, just cooling and slowly crystallizing and changing chemistry. And then later on, a pulse of new magma, fresher, hotter magma, can come down and actually goose that older material to the surface. So based on looking at the samples and the rapid chemical analysis of what has come out so far, it appears that what we're seeing now is leftover magma from the 1955 eruption. I should say that's a preliminary interpretation, but all the petrologists that I've talked to, I think, feel that's a plausible conclusion. And what's consistent with that is that it's not erupting with much vigor. It's coming out and forming these little spatter collars and short lava flows. It doesn't behave like fresh magma with a lot of gas. It's very hot. So that's good in terms of the hazard scenario so far, that lava's not traveling very far. But we do know there's good evidence based on geodesy and earthquake activity that fresher magma from further up the rift is coming down and maybe behind this. And so what we are wondering and concerned about is whether that fresher magma will make it to the surface, because at that time it could transition to a more vigorous lava flow producing eruption.
Do you have any way of knowing what might happen?
Not with absolute certainty, I'm afraid. That is why we watch 24/7 the earthquake activity, the deformation data, to see if it's going to give us a signal that something more vigorous is coming. It may be our first indication that that is happening is the change in character or eruptive style. In other words, a transition from this low-level spattering and short lava flows to something with a higher effusion rate, more volume per unit time, that produces lava flows that move more quickly downslope.
The other big issue for the Lower Puna area is the gas that's being erupted from the fissures, the sulfur dioxide. Tell us about the monitoring, how that's happening, who's doing it, and how you know whether it's dangerous or the extent to which it's dangerous.
Sherry, the monitoring of the volcanic gas emissions in the lower eastern zone eruption is being done by a variety of groups in different ways. Some of that information is being posted on the web, but I think the fundamental message to people is that anyone in the vicinity of the eruption or downwind may be exposed to some level of volcanic gas at some time. Therefore, just as people in the summit area of Kilauea have had to deal with this for the past 10 years, folks in Lower Puna are now going to be dealing with this more often. I am not a health expert on volcanic gas, but we've tried to put a lot of information on our website at the VOG dashboard that people can go to learn about VOG. USGS scientists are working closely with Department of Health and others to try to continue to push that information. In fact, we have a health expert arriving on the island this afternoon who will begin working with Department of Health and other agencies to try to make sure the right information is getting out. In the meantime, I would just encourage people to stay away from the active fissures and stay out of the gas plume as best they can.
Makes sense. Okay. The other area of concern is at the summit of Halema'oma'u, the same Kilauea crater we've known and loved for years. And Hawaiian Volcano Observatory has issued an alert to be prepared for a possible ash explosion at the summit. Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, I'm standing in my office looking out the window right at the Halema'oma'u vent, and right at the moment it's producing a very vigorous steamy plume with a little bit of ash mixed in. What we've been saying and what we sent at that public announcement is that as the lava lake level dropped deeply into the summit of the volcano, it was getting down to the level of where we expect the water table to be, and that is the level at which below rocks are saturated with water. At that time, it's possible for the water to move into the evacuated conduit, interact with the very hot rocks, and produce steam-driven explosions. But that does require that the interaction become pressurized somehow. And the mechanism favored is that we get rockfall events down deep into the hole, and that eventually can produce a plug that pressurizes the system and causes a steam explosion. So that's the scenario we're worried about. That happened last at a magnitude of concern in 1924. And I can say at this point, looking out my window, there's a lot of steam coming out of the crater, so it looks like there is some water likely interacting. We're not 100% sure this is groundwater water, but there's clearly water getting involved. Every once in a while, I see ash, a more ash-rich plume boiling out of Halema'oma'u. Those are most likely due to rockfalls that are clattering down the more than 900-foot walls, impacting the bottom and sending up an alutriate of rock dust. But we're watching for the time when we might start seeing more impulsive and vigorous explosions that would indicate a transition to more steam-driven activity. So in sum, it's a unstable time here at the summit. We're watching it as closely as we can safely. The winds generally right now are taking this summit plume to the southwest, but really here at the summit of Kilauea, in every direction I look, it's a little bit foggy. So we may be seeing some backdraft from the summit plume. We may also be getting something from Lower Puna.
Okay, I wanted to ask you a couple more questions about that. But first, I do want to say that the Volcano Watch publication for this week, written by Janet Babb, goes into great detail explaining about the 1924 eruption. You can find it at the Hawaiian Volcano Observatory website. It will be in our newspapers. It's on the Lava 105 and Koa Country websites, and it's an excellent explanation. And it also alleviates some concern. And I wanted to ask you about that, Tina. Civil Defense's latest alert this afternoon, Saturday afternoon, says dangerous debris could fall up to 12 miles from the summit if there's an ash eruption. And some people have interpreted that to mean that the giant boulders can fly out 12 miles, but that's not what I understand from reading about the 1924 eruption nor the Volcano Watch. Could you comment on that?
Yes, I can, Sherry. I'm not entirely sure of the derivation of that 12-mile reference, and I'll be contacting Civil Defense to find out what they intended to say there. In 1924, the very large ballistic blocks were primarily confined to within a little over half a mile of the Halema'oma'u vent. So that's not even as far as we are here at HVO. So beyond the caldera area, what people received was ashfall, ash being particles smaller than 2 millimeters. So at this time, looking to the 1924 event as a likely outcome of what's happening here, no, people do not need to be worried at this time about large blocks hurling 12 miles.
Oh, that's so good to know. And also, I'd like to point out that Hawaii Volcanoes National Park has closed to all visitors, so there's going to be nobody in the park who is just a casual visitor should this event occur, right?
That's correct.
Just you folks there at Hawaiian Volcano Observatory, so be very careful.
We shall.
Before we say aloha, is there anything else, Tina Neal, that you would like to mention or that I should be asking about?
Well, I just encourage folks, especially on this side of the island, to stay tuned to the updates coming from Civil Defense and from the Hawaiian Volcano Observatory. We're trying to push as much information on our website as possible to give people resources, and I think this is not a time for panic, although I can understand that it's a difficult and unnerving time because of the uncertainty and the changing conditions at the volcano.
There is one more thing that I wanted to ask you about. Apparently, a seismologist from UC Berkeley put out some documentation suggesting that when the Halema'uma'u summit eruption does occur, that whole side of the island could fall off into the ocean. And today on the media update conference call, that was debunked, but maybe you could explain that just a tiny bit further.
Well, I've not seen this report or article from the UC Berkeley seismologist. I'm not familiar with what this comment is, but I think the point to be made is there's no evidence that the south flank of Kilauea is unstable to the point of imminent collapse. After the big magnitude 6.9 earthquake a week or so ago, can't remember the day, there was certainly deformation of the south flank, but it's not continuing at a fast rate. So that is not a concern of ours at this time.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Tina Neal. I appreciate your time. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you, Sherry.
And that was Tina Neal, scientist in charge at Hawaiian Volcano Observatory. She and I talked Saturday around 2:30 p.m., and since then there have been two new fissures, one starting at 6 p.m. last night. Fissure 17 was a half mile northeast from the end of Hinalo Road, and this morning at 6 o'clock, a new fissure opened up, number 18, on Halekama'ina Loop Road to the west, or call upon a site of Highway 132, and residents on Halekama'ina Loop Road are ordered to evacuate. And Pacific Tsunami Warning Center reports that last night, just before midnight, there was a 4.3 earthquake offshore of Kalapana. All of this is a good reminder why you should go to the Civil Defense website to sign up for alerts. And a reminder that one of the very best sources of information and a website that is constantly being updated is the website for Hawaiian Volcano Observatory. Just Google it and you'll find it. Hawaiian Volcano Observatory. A reminder that this is Island Issues and I'm Sherry Bracken. And we're here every Sunday, 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And then we post these interviews as podcasts at Lava 105.3 3.com and at koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. The other discussions we're airing this morning are with Governor David Ige about his emergency proclamations, including the one relative to Puna Geothermal Venture, and Deanna Sacco, the County Director of Finance, Kay Hau Costa with the Hawaii Island Board of Realtors, and Mary Bajir, a realtor in East Hawaii. Let's get to Governor David Ige about the emergency proclamations, including the one he has requested from President Donald Trump, which has now been granted. We talked with Governor David Ige last Thursday afternoon, May 10th. Governor Ige, aloha. Thank you for your time.
Certainly. It's great to be able to talk with you, Sherry.
Governor, you've been taking a pretty strong personal leadership role relative to this island's lava eruption that's in the lower East Rift Zone. And I wanted to ask you about a couple of actions you've taken during this past week. First thing is you issued an emergency declaration regarding Puna Geothermal Ventures plant, which provides power to Helco. Tell us what you did and why.
Well, I did attend a community meeting this past week, and that clearly was one of the overarching concerns that I heard from the community. And both Mayor Kim and I had conversations with Puna Geothermal about how we felt that it was very important to clear the site of the pentane. You know, we had heard from many residents of that concern. And the response we got back was just unacceptable. It certainly seemed like it would take days, more than a week. And with the fissures, and sure, you know where the fissures are, being so close to that geothermal facility, I felt that it had to be cleared ASAP. And so certainly talking with the Attorney General and looking at what my authority is in an emergency, we felt that we had to clear it out as soon as possible. And therefore, I issued the supplemental proclamation to give me authority to take over the facility if necessary to clear the pentane.
Well, it seems like it worked because as of Thursday morning at 3:15 a.m., we are told by Hawaii County Civil Defense, Puna Geothermal Ventures had in fact moved all of the flammable pentane gas off of their facility and into Shipman Park. So is that the resolution you had in mind?
Absolutely. You know, when PGV was talking about 7 to 10 days or longer, it just was totally unacceptable. You know, we having a conversation and talking with the county and our people, we came to the conclusion that it shouldn't take that long, and that's why I issued that supplemental proclamation.
Regarding Puna Geothermal, are there other actions that you think need to be taken, or are you confident with the removal of the pentane gas that that facility, if overrun by lava, will not create any additional hazards for the community?
No, we are still concerned, and that's why, as part of that supplemental proclamation, I appointed Tom Travis and Mayor Kim to lead a team to really get an independent look at PGV's emergency plan and make that decision about whether it's adequate to secure the facility and make sure that there's not a bigger blowout of the wellheads or any of that kind of activity that would really put the community in jeopardy.
Well, and Tom Travis is the new head of Hawaii Emergency Management, is that correct?
Yes, he is the new director of Hawaii Emergency Management Agency.
Great. Okay. Anything else about PGV before I ask you about your second emergency situation that I want to talk about?
Just to be clear, Sherry, we do believe that we want a team, and we want PGV to be part of that team to look at. Obviously, they know the facility better than any of us, but we also wanted to have independent assessment. So we are looking and reaching out for national experts in geothermal that could help us come in and assess the facility and really get other mitigation proposals from experts so we can evaluate which would make the most sense in protecting the community.
Great. Okay. I also understand you have reached out for federal assistance, and I believe that FEMA is already on the ground in Puna, but that you've actually got a plan in mind that you're asking for White House help for. So tell us more about that.
You know, as soon as the fissures opened in the Leilani Estate subdivision, and sure, again, you know, this is very different than previous eruption episodes because the fissures are actually in the community itself. I immediately had reached out to FEMA and told them that I thought that this was a very serious situation and we wanted to lean forward and get their involvement very early on. So they really responded. You know, we have 15 FEMA employees in Hawaii right now. Five of them are on site at the Hawaii Civil Defense Emergency Operations Center, and 10 of them are in the Haiima Emergency Operations Center. And so we've been working very closely with them on moving forward with my presidential request to President Trump to declare a major disaster so we can get access to federal assets.
So that's the implication. Once you ask President Trump if he agrees, then that gives us an opportunity to get some federal money as well as personnel?
Yeah, I mean, it really, we're interested in the personnel again. You know, the money is more of a reimbursement. So, you know, Mayor Kim and I have already, through our state and county emergency declarations, have forwarded money and, you know, looking to take the actions required to keep the community safe. The federal proclamation gets us resources and experts. You know, we did have a very good conversation with the FEMA personnel about, are there experts that we can bring in to look at the geothermal facility? And we had them outside at PGV and, you know, really looking at independent assessments of the risk and what would be the best way to mitigate the risk in light of where the fissures are and, you know, past history of lava flows in that vicinity. So, you know, we have been working very closely, federal, state, and county partners, to find the best solution to keep the community safe.
Great. Anything else you'd like to mention, Governor David Ige, before we let you go today?
Yeah, I spent a couple hours up in Leilani Estates, and I just wanted to let all of the people of Hawaii Island know. I was really inspired by the response in the community. I was up at the assistance center that is receiving contributions and donations to be given to the Leilani Estates community. And, you know, certainly the overwhelming outpouring of support and just neighbors helping neighbors and Big Islanders helping those in that community. And, you know, it's just outreach from around the state. I know that businesses and individuals outside of Hawaii Island also is contributing water, food, other kinds of donations, as well as money to really support the community there in Puna. And it really is inspiring to see how our community comes together when there is a natural disaster or there is a situation that really impacts people.
That's really true. And of course, we saw that on Kauai with their flooding, and we're seeing it now every single day here on this island, you know, with everybody really reaching out and giving aloha to the folks who are directly affected by this lava flow, because it's our island, you know, it's our state. So thank you so much.
Aloha. Thank you so much for reaching out.
Thank you, Governor David Ige. We'll see you soon. Aloha.
Aloha.
And that was Governor David Ige talking about emergency proclamations, and the request to the White House has been granted. Now there have been some questions about property taxes, so we turn to County Finance Director Deanna Sacco. Deanna, thank you for talking with us. Aloha.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Somebody asked me the question, if lava overruns your property, do you lose ownership? Could you address that, please?
You continue to own the property, and we're not aware of that at all. If the lava runs along the coastline, then new land becomes the state's, but we're not aware that you lose your land.
Okay. If lava overruns somebody's property, how does the county handle property tax at that time? Does the person still owe the full amount of their property tax?
No, there is a section in our county code that covers that for all types of disaster, including lava. And we will look at it and prorate the taxes accordingly from the date of destruction, so to speak. It's the same section that applies to fire, earthquakes, and other ones. So we're working very closely with civil defense to determine the homes that were destroyed so that we can remit those taxes back to them for this year and then adjust accordingly for the following year.
Oh, great. That's good. But what about if somebody's home is not overrun by lava, but it becomes essentially landlocked or lava locked where they can't actually get into it? What happens then?
We are looking at the land and continuing to study it, but they would probably fall into the same situation that because they can't access their land, the value would drop significantly.
Okay. And right now, for all of Leilani, Lani Puna, and other affected areas in Lower Puna, people are evacuated. They can't use their homes. So how does the county deal with that? What are the property tax implications, if any?
So we are obviously watching the situation very closely and studying it, working with civil defense. But we do need the disaster proclamation to have a clause in it that we can go in and reassess the property values. Because as you know, each property is assessed January 1st of each year. So we just need the mayor to authorize us to reassess the properties. And we have about another month and a half before the bills go out. So in that time, we'll be determining, you know, what's happening in those parcels, if they're usable at all, and we'll make the appropriate adjustments at that time.
Okay. Are there other things we should know relative to the county and its handling of this lava situation that are finance-related?
Some people may be used to filing a form if they've lost their home due to disaster or had a fire or something, but we're not requiring that form at this time because we are able to determine from the maps which homes have been lost. So that's one less thing people have to do or worry about. All these adjustments will happen automatically.
Oh, great. Deanna, thank you so much. I know you're sick today, and I really appreciate your taking the time to talk with us.
No problem. We know it's an important issue, and we appreciate you getting the information out to everyone as well.
Okay, thanks, Deanna. Aloha.
Aloha.
And that was Deanna Sacco, who's the County Finance Director. Next up, housing and some real estate issues. First with Kehau Costa, Executive Officer of the Hawaii Island Board of Realtors in Hilo. And I reached her at a conference in New York. Kehau, aloha. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks, Sherry.
Now, the reason I wanted to talk to you was, although people sort of have an image of what realtors do, which is typically sell property, I know that you, representing the organization, have been actively involved with groups that are trying to find alternative housing for the many folks who have been displaced and probably will be displaced as a result of the lava flow. Give us an idea of what you know about that.
We kind of had an opportunity to do this back in 2014 with the Pahoa flow. Fortunately, we were lucky with that one, and it was a different type of activity since it was a surface flow, and we were able to watch where that lava was coming and what homes we thought were going to be impacted. This is a totally different event, and so different set of circumstances. I guess our immediate concern is identifying emergency and temporary housing that might be available in our community. We're working with Hope Services and Office of Housing and Community Development with the county's Office of Housing and ourselves, Hawaii Island Realtors, to try to put together a comprehensive resource list and listings of potential temporary to permanent housing solutions for people who have been displaced. Just as an immediate, some of our realtors volunteered to do a grassroots Facebook page called Big Island Lava Flow Housing Network, just as an immediate way to identify people who need housing with people who have housing. And other than that, we have a resource list of all of our property managers. As of last Monday, we had a comprehensive list of current rental units that were available from property managers who participated with us in giving us an idea of what listings they had. And we're currently working with our MLS company, Hawaii Information Service, to put together a one-stop database for property managers, landlords, anyone who has potential housing to list, and so that we have a single place to go just initially to look for availability for temporary housing and permanent housing.
Well, I'm imagining that people will need houses, apartments, even sometimes just a room with a bath kind of thing.
Yep. So just in identifying available housing, we're looking at home share, rooms that are available. People have even offered properties for camping or just very, very temporary type of housing. We just need to be creative. We're also looking at working with our really active realtors in the vacation rental market to see how many vacation rentals we might be able to identify as now available for long-term housing.
Now, if people want to get the resource list or go to the Facebook page, again, tell us, how do they best get information?
The best way to get information right now is to call any of the participating agencies at the information center started by the county, the Pahoa Community Center, or people can call Hope Services, Office of Housing, or calling Hawaii Island Realtors directly, and we can help them locate the resources that they need. 935-0827. 935-0827.
That was Kehau Costa with Hawaii Island Board of Realtors in Hilo talking about potential available housing for those who are displaced. Next, I wanted to talk a little bit about real estate, property taxes, availability of mortgages. I spoke with Mary Bajir, who's a realtor in East Hawaii. Mary Bajir, you are the principal of Mary Bajir Realty, and we have some questions that have come up as a result of this lava flow. Thanks for taking time to talk with us.
You're welcome.
The first question that somebody asked me to pose to you is, if my property has been overrun with lava and I am no longer in it, may I stop paying my mortgage?
It's never a good idea to stop honoring your debts. You do still owe that mortgage, but probably the more important thing and more beneficial to you is, I would say 98% of people pay their property insurance and their real property taxes along with their mortgage. And given the nature of the insurance that's available in the areas that are being inundated right now, it's probably through HPIA or Lloyd's of London. HPIA is the Hawaii Property Insurance Association. It's an entity that was created through collaboration within the real estate industry, the insurance industry, and the state legislature probably 35 years ago to address high-risk properties like the East Rift of the Kilauea. And if those policies lapse, you can't get them back again. So you want to make sure you keep your property insurance, that's your hazard insurance, in place. So please continue to make your mortgage payments, even though it might be very difficult to do, given that you now had to put out funds to maybe find a replacement residence.
Right now, Mary, what are you seeing? What is the status of real estate sales? Well, let's start within the Puna District before we go island-wide.
There's still a great deal of activity because we've had a tremendous housing shortage for many years, and it's only gotten worse with this situation. It's changing every day. It's very different. It's not something that anyone has ever had to cope with exactly the same. And so we're just doing our best to help people find homes and stay in their homes if they can. There are some cancellations, but there are also people coming into the market just for normal needs of housing.
If I were to be buying a property today, could I get a mortgage and could I get property insurance?
Yes, you can get a mortgage. There were always lenders that had limitations on availability of programs for lava zones 1 and 2, but as long as there's insurance available, then the lenders will lend. That's a very important thing that a lender cares about, is their risk. And so if something happens to the home, they want to know that there's insurance to cover it. We just received an announcement from HPIA, the Hawaii Property Insurance Association, that if a home currently has insurance and we can show that there will be no lapse in insurance coverage from either transferring a policy for some reason or for if the home is currently insured and there's a pending resale, the new homeowner will also qualify for replacement coverage with no waiting period. That is just the best news for people that are sitting in escrow trying to buy a home or someone trying to sell a home so that they can move on with the plan in their life. And now we're able to do it.
How will this lava flow, in your view, and I know you can't predict the future, but how is this affecting property values today and how might it affect in the future?
Well, I think that for a subdivision such as Leilani Estates, there will be lots of questions to be addressed in the future, depending on what ends up happening when the flow is finished, what will be the resulting neighborhood, how will we go forward. I know that the Real Property Tax Office is looking at doing something with their assessments. It's really going to go back to supply and demand. That's what drives any market, is what is a party's confidence level. There's people that have been very comfortable living in Leilani for many, many years, very happily, and they may continue to decide to, you know, to keep doing that. It's just how each person handles risk.
Mary, I just wanted to mention on the topic of insurance, I called my own insurance agent, my homeowner's insurance, and I said, if I wanted to get a new homeowner's insurance policy today on this island, could I? And they said, yes, you could. We assess the risk for each area, so people should not think that insurance is not available. What else would you like to talk about, Mary, relative to this situation? What do you think is important for folks to understand?
Honestly, Sherry, I think the very most important thing is this insurance picture. Please keep making your payments. Please keep your insurance in place. There's going to be a human reaction to say, what the heck? I'm done. I'm out of here. Forget it. Go ahead and foreclose on me. I'm landlocked by lava or whatever. Don't do that. Keep your insurance in place. I just can't stress that enough. There are programs available. The realtors have programs. They're reaching out to try to get help for everybody. The Chamber of Commerce on Oahu has reached out to the local chamber. How can we help? If you need help financially to stay in this rental that you've just acquired and keep your home, keep your home. We'll figure out how to help you with the rental.
That's great. That's really generous. Thank you very much for mentioning that, because folks will feel some measure of comfort in that. Is there anything else we should know before we say aloha?
I can't think of anything significant, really, but thank you for doing the show that will get the word out for people to keep that insurance in place. That's just super. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And that is Island Issues for today. I'm Sherry Bracken, your host and producer. Thank you so much for being with us. I will see you next Sunday morning. Until then, please give all your warmest kokua to the folks who are directly affected by this lava flow. And please, let's live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues, brought to you by Regency at Hualalai, a retirement and assisted living community. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us at info@lava105.com. Join us again next week for another Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.